So we're going to go backwards, meaning in time, to the places that we visited and didn't get a chance to share the katha related to that place. Before here, he visited Radharaman Temple and the samadhi of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Before that, we visited Radha Shama Sundar. We didn't speak much about that place or those deities, a little bit. If you happen to be in Vrindavan during Kartik, sometime in the future, you probably will anyway, but I'll encourage you, visit Radha Shama Sundar Temple. They have a spectacular way of worshiping the deity. Each different day of the month of Kartik, they have special dress in the mood of Radha Krishna Leela. Some of them are pretty far out, but that's their program. With Radharaman, they're far more, they follow very closely the Hari Bhakti Vilas, as you would imagine why they follow Hari Bhakti Vilas closely, because Gopal Bhatta was the actual author of Hari Bhakti Vilas. So in a very, they're very strict in standards of worship and also not, you know, not creating, not fabricating things. But they have a very beautiful picture book of festivals for Radharaman, and some very few days of the year, we'll say it in reverse, almost every day of the year, they have some special festival for Radharaman, some special way of worshiping Radharaman. On Gopal Bhatta Goswami's appearance and disappearance day, they bring out and show to the public the articles that Lord Chaitanya sent him, his own personal clothing and his own personal sitting mat. That's worshipable. And the pujaris, going back to the time when Srila Prabhupada was present, when Prabhupada first came to Vrindavan, you can read this in Leelamrita, the present Goswami in Radharaman is Padmanabha Goswami, and his father was Vishvambar Goswami. Vishvambar, even before Prabhupada was anybody, he was a nobody from Gaudiya ranks. He was a grihastha that was entering vanaprastha stage, just like, you know, a Vaishnav. Vishvambar Goswami arranged for Prabhupada's room at the Radhadamodar temple. Because one Goswami to another, hey, can you provide him a room? So, on his influence, Prabhupada was provided a room. And Vishvambar Goswami, intimately associated with Prabhupada, before he came to America, before he was a somebody. And when he came back to Vrindavan, Vishvambar Goswami was the same. He treated Prabhupada as one Vaishnav treats another Vaishnav, with great respect and courtesy and dignity. When Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram, guess who was in charge of the installation ceremony? Right, Vishvambar Goswami. Because everybody knows the Goswamis at the Radhadamodar temple, they're expert. They do everything just right. So he arranged for the other Goswamis under him, to work under him and with him, to install Krishna Balaram. That's the kind of relationship that Prabhupada had with Vishvambhara Goswami. And as a result, his son, Padmanabha, similarly has enormous respect for Srila Prabhupada. And anytime you go in and out of Radhadamodar temple, you're treated like it's your home. Because that's how Vishvambhara and Padmanabha and how they all feel. They're very, very nice. Like one expects a Vaishnava to be. They're very nice. And they have fantastic festivals. And they dress the deities in fantastic ways. They have amazing celebrations. And they love very, very deeply. They love Radharaman. I haven't seen, but one of the devotees said, that one of the pujaris said, that the very, very beautiful form of Radharaman on the backside has a shila sticking out like a shila. Meaning, literally, Radharaman just manifested from the shila. Because the backside is the shila. And he just manifested his form. Out of the love of Gopal Bhatta Goswami for Krishna. Here I am. And here's a small technical point, but it's an important point. Deities require installation. Like Krishna Balaram were installed by Vishvambhara Goswami and the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Shalagram Shila doesn't require being installed. Shalagram Shila is immediately worshipable, just like Govardhan Shila is immediately worshipable. So this Radharaman deity didn't have to be installed. He was already Krishna, manifesting from Shalagram. Very amazing. And their mood of devotion is likewise very amazing. Over generations, things have a tendency to deteriorate. So that's something that Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about. That the standards of worship and the standards of his teachings be maintained. Very concerned. Because history shows things don't maintain. Things have a tendency to deteriorate. Time destroys all things. Like we described about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur before his coming to Vrindavan, things were practically lost. It was only four generations, but it doesn't take so long. Practically absent. But still, because of the presence of a Vaishnav can make all of that manifest again. Just like Prabhupada did when Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan. Mention this, but I'll mention it again. Where Krishna Balaram Mandir was, I mean is, in all directions, there was nothing. There was agricultural fields, like you just drive out somewhere and it's just agricultural fields. There was nothing. So the devotees said, Prabhupada, we should be where the action is. We should be downtown Vrindavan. That's where the temple should be. Prabhupada said, Raman Reti. In time, everything will develop. And now it's like, you know, crazy with commotion. But, you know, all those shops across the street, there was nothing. It was fields. And then, you know how it is for those of you that live in India, some little guy and a little guy and a little guy. Little temporary stand that they lock down with, a lock, a padlock, a little wooden thing with a little door, and lock down the wooden door and make some money. And the next thing, boop, they build something out of cement. And the next thing, boop, it's got somebody living upstairs and something downstairs. And then they're renting rooms in the back and, how it goes. But all those, anyway, it's crazy. But then there was nothing. So a great Vaishnava can manifest Krishna. and Vaishnava Sangha. Sanatana Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was a teenager, he spoke about, he had it like, you know, amongst his friends, he had this, you know, this association of celibates. You know, he was firing them up to remain celibate their whole life. Didn't have a big group of young men. So, but he stayed with it, the others didn't. But then this other thing that he used as a phrase was Vaishnava Vishva Raja Sabha, which Prabhupada used as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But he said it's like a river. Vaishnava Sangha is like a river, and sometimes the river goes underground. But as long as there's a river, the river can manifest. And someplace further down underground, it will come to the surface again, and later in our locality, it may come into the surface again. So all you need is one Vaishnava, and that Vaishnava can bring the association of other Vaishnavas. Vaishnava, Vishva, Raja, Sabha. So great Vaishnavas can transform an ordinary place into a place of pilgrimage just by their association. So we're going to go back to Radha Shama Sundar Temple. Picture in your mind the beautiful Radha Shama Sundar deity. Very beautiful deity. And the small deity that you couldn't see unless you stood over to the left side of the altar as you're looking at the altar, looking over to the right side of the altar as you're looking at the altar, there's small Radhakrishna deities that were worshipped by Shyamananda. So briefly describe about Shyamananda and how he received those deities. Shyamananda became an initiated. He was born in West Bengal near Navadvip, so he grew up hearing about Lord Chaitanya. And can't remember the exact area, but his mood from childhood, his mood was deep attachment for Lord Chaitanya. But unfortunately, as his contemporary Narottam Das Thakur, Lord Chaitanya was born, he was born after Lord Chaitanya had already left. So he never had his association. So he was given the nickname Dukhi because he was sad or feeling great pain in separation from Lord Chaitanya. But he was very devotionally inclined, and he accepted as his spiritual master, and his spiritual master accepted him as a disciple, Hridaya Chaitanya, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who was a disciple of Goridas Pandit. Tomorrow we may visit the samadhi of Goridas Pandit, if time permits. So recognizing the spiritual qualification of his disciple, Krishnadas, or Dukhi Krishnadas, he sent him here to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. So he traveled all the way from Bengal by foot and took shelter of Jiva Goswami. There's some nice paintings of his first meeting with Jiva Goswami, offering prostrated obeisances before Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami took him to meet Srinivas and Narottam Das Thakur. And as I mentioned, Dukhi Krishna Das had a, besides being very spiritually inclined and very quick to learn all spiritual subjects, he had a service disposition. He liked serving. So he asked Jiva Goswami if he could serve him in a personal way somehow. So that service was given that he could clean the kunj, a place in Seva Kunj where Radha and Krishna would perform their rasa dance. And it was, you know, we can visit Seva Kunj. And we look at Seva Kunj and say, oh, look at that, nice trees, nice place. We can't see anything. But because of his service mood, whether he could see Radha and Krishna or not see Radha and Krishna, he was serving Radha and Krishna. His understanding was that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are eternal. The Radha and Krishna are performing rasa dance in Seva Kunj. And he was given by his Shiksha Guru, Jiva Goswami, the opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna. So he took it seriously. He was serving Radha and Krishna. So one very important part of this Leela, besides the mood of service reveals the Dham, is that the spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan, and this realm, we can say upper Golok and lower Golok, they're actually literally the same. Although, what's the distance between here and the coverings of the universe? And on the other side of the coverings of the universe is the spiritual sky, and in the spiritual sky there's the Vaikuntha planets, and there's Goloka Vrindavan somewhere up there in the spiritual sky. So that's a big distance. But there's no distance between Goloka Vrindavan and this eternal realm of Vrindavan. You know, the physical plane, the bricks, mortars, and cement is one thing. But the spiritual dimension, there's no distinction. They're one and the same. So Radha and Krishna were performing rasa dance. And the dance pastime was becoming so ecstatic that Radharani didn't even notice that one of her ankle ornaments came off. She was dancing and dancing and dancing. Her golden ankle ornament came off. In the next morning, as he was cleaning, Dukhi Krishna found it. And when he saw it, so he picked it up, it looked, you know, very special. And when he picked it up, just as soon as it was in his hand, he felt charged with ecstasy just to contact Radha. He didn't know what it was, this ornament. And right away he could understand, this isn't ordinary. So he buried it. He put it, made a little hole in the earth, put it under the earth and covered it up and said, I want to find out who this belongs to, because this isn't ordinary. So some days later, Lalita Sakhi, we visited Unchagaon, where Lalita Sakhi resided. Lalita Sakhi transformed herself into an old Brijbasi lady and came before Dukhi Krishna Das, and in an old lady's voice asked, did you find an ankle ornament? One of my friends lost it. Yes, I found something, but how do I know it belongs to you? Well, let me see it. I can identify. Oh, no. I'll believe you if you say it is your friend's, but I want to meet your friend. Can you take me to meet your friend? And Lalita understood that Dukhi Krishna understood. And so she transported Dukhi Krishna Das to upper Golok and brought Dukhi Krishna Das in his spiritual form. Someone was asking during the lunch break, how do we know what our spiritual form is? And I said, we'll know what our spiritual form is when it's disclosed to us. But each of us has some eternal spiritual form, and Dukhi Krishnadas's eternal spiritual form just happened to be a Manjari. In fact, Manjari with a name. Her name was Kanaka Manjari. So in the form of Kanaka Manjari, this embodiment of Dukhi Krishnadas, now in spiritual form, Kanaka Manjari was brought before Srimati Radharani. And Lalita Devi introduced him. This is your Sakhi, Kanaka Manjari. She found your ankle ornament. And she's come to present it to you. Kanaka Manjari was overwhelmed. And just a flash brought before Srimati Radharani, seated on a beautiful throne, surrounded by the gopis serving her, and she handed Radharani the ankle ornament. Radharani received it and placed the ankle ornament on Kanaka Manjari's forehead, and it made a tilak mark on her forehead. And Radharani said, you pleased me very much by your service, so I've made this arrangement, your humble, sincere service, sweeping the kunj. And so I've made this arrangement to bring you here and give you my blessings. And she, Radha, gave her a mantra to chant and gave her a name. Said, from now on, you'll be known as Shyamananda, one who gives pleasure to Shyama, Radharani. And here's a deity of myself and Krishna. And you can keep this with you in worship. Now you can go back to the kunj and continue your service. So Kanaka Manjari was again transformed into Dukhi Krishnadas, now otherwise known as Shyamananda. And, oh, Radha said, don't tell anybody. Whatever you do, don't tell anybody. But Shyamananda had to tell Jiva Goswami, so he told Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami was so happy. You have received Radharani's direct fortune. This is so wonderful. But Radha said, don't tell anybody, so don't tell anybody. I won't tell anybody either. So here comes Dukhi Krishnadas, no longer Dukhi Krishnadas, Shyamananda, no longer wearing the same tilak, wearing different tilak, and with some deity of Radha and Krishna. So disciples of Hriday Chaitanya coming from Bengal to visit Vrindavan say, oh, our godbrother, Dukhi Krishna. But everybody's now calling him Shyamananda. So they started one of those things that devotees sometimes do. They start talking about another person to each other. Do you know what? Psst, 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 psst. Not only that, psst, 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 psst. We're going to tell Hriday Chaitanya. Of course, we can't tell Shyamananda because that would be right, and we're not going to do the right thing. So we'll go and talk to Hriday Chaitanya and find out, you know, tell him, hey, Hriday Chaitanya, your disciple, Dukhi Krishnadas, Jiva Goswami gave him another initiation, and Jiva Goswami changed his name and his tilak. Jiva Goswami's made a big offense. And Hriday Chaitanya said, that's a big offense. How can Jiva Goswami, the head of all great acharyas and whole of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, do this? This is wrong. And by the way, it's wrong. Once initiated, one, by a bona fide disciplic succession, one doesn't come again and initiate the person in bona fide disciplic succession. It's an offense. Bear that in mind in the course of time when you hear something like that might happen. It's not to be done. Historical reference is there. So Hriday Chaitanya, being a great Vaishnava, he didn't want to just barge into everything. He went to the other Mahants, and he shared, this is what came to me from my disciples. I think as a group we should go to Vrindavan and ask Jiva Goswami to give us a good explanation of what happened. So they agreed, yes, this is the right thing to do. We'll go and directly speak to Jiva Goswami, which should have happened in the beginning. But the Mahants came and spoke to Jiva Goswami. And he was so happy. So many Mahants have come here to Vrindavan. How wonderful. Yes, how can I serve you? Well, we want to speak with you privately. Well, what's the concern? Did you give Duki Krishna Das some new name and some new initiation and some new tilak? Did you do this? I didn't do this. Then you can tell us how it happened. You have to ask him how it happened. He must know. Because he's not supposed to tell. So Hriday Chaitanya went to Shyamananda and said, did Jiva Goswami give you this new name and this initiation and this new tilak? No, he didn't do that. Then where did it come from? I want a proper answer. And Shyamananda was told by Radharani not to say, so he couldn't say. But if he didn't say, then it looks like Jiva Goswami did something bad. So he said, can I have some time to give you a proper answer? Yes, but we want a proper answer. So right in front of all the Vaishnavs, he sat down and in complete concentration upon Radharani, he was calling her in his mind to please help him in this difficult situation. The description is, second time in his spiritual form, in Kanaka Manjari form, he came before, or she came before Radharani, crying and crying, Radha, what am I to do? They're calling Jiva Goswami bad names. He didn't do anything wrong. It's by his mercy that I got your mercy. I got the opportunity to serve Jiva Goswami and serve you because of him. And now he's in difficulty. And I'm also being called something bad. But I can't say anything. What to do? What to do? Radharani immediately calmed Kanaka Manjari, said, don't worry. Everything will be all right. You go back and tell Hriday Chaitanya, it all happened in a dream. And ask him, if your tilak does not wash off, then it was a dream. And if a tilak washes off, then it's not a dream and it's some other explanation is required. Go back, just do that. Everything will be all right. So Kanaka Manjari went back and came to external consciousness in front of Hriday Chaitanya and said, this is how it happened. It happened in a dream. And to prove it to you, because anyone could say it happened in a dream, that it actually happened in a dream. And I offer that if the tilak washes off, then you can chastise me as being an offender. And if the tilak remains, you can accept it happened in a dream. He said, this is a very good proposal. Bring some water, Jamuna water. The tilak wouldn't come off. So he accepted. This is something that happened in a dream. All well and good. Shanti. That night, Hriday Chaitanya had a dream. And in the dream, Radha appeared. And Radha said to Hriday Chaitanya, don't chastise your disciple, Shyamananda. He is my very dear devotee. As are you. This has all been a display of my arrangement to draw both of you closer to me. So fully forgive him and consider yourself very fortunate to have such a qualified disciple. The dream ended. Hriday Chaitanya was in ecstasy. Because he was in ecstasy, all of the Mahants were in ecstasy. Because all the Mahants were in ecstasy, Shyamananda was greatly relieved. And Jiva Goswami was appreciating the humor of Radha and Krishna to engage their devotees in such a wonderful drama as this. And so the deity of Radha and Krishna that Radharani gave, Shyamananda continued to worship. And that at least the local pujaris say those very same deities are currently on the altar, on the right side as you're looking at the altar. And the large Radha-Shyama-Sundara deities are not the original deities that Shyamananda worshipped. But as I mentioned when we were at Radha-Shyama-Sundara's temple, the place where that ankle ornament of Radharani was found is about 50 yards or so to the left as you exit the Radha-Shyama-Sundara temple. It's in the same vicinity as the temple itself. And so in time, a very majestic temple was built for the deities. So now we'll go back to the Radha Damodar temple. I'd like to mention some more about the deities on the altar and the persons who worship those deities that are on the altar. If you can remember seeing the altar, did you all get a good darshan of the deities? That group that was there just before us, they were mopping the altar, but when they left, then it was easy to get darshan, right? Got good darshan of the deities. So, on the far left of the altar are the deities of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. They're the Pratibhu deities. The whole altar was moved, including Radha Damodar. That's why we're going to Jaipur, so we can have darshan of those original deities. But this katha will help cover visiting those places ahead of time, because we'll do the same thing, moving quickly to many temples so we can get darshan of the original Goswami deities. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we know principally as the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he was the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita in a very, very old age. And he describes a little bit of his life before he was living in Vrindavan, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he was a disciple of Lord Nityananda. He was initiated by Lord Nityananda. So he had wonderful faith in Lord Nityananda. And through the agency of his faith in Lord Nityananda, he had great love for Lord Chaitanya. And thus he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when his brother-in-law was accepting Lord Chaitanya but not Lord Nityananda, he scolded him, chastised him. This isn't right. One that doesn't have faith in Lord Nityananda as much as one has faith in Lord Chaitanya is an offender, and you're an offender. He chastised him strongly. Now, brothers can do that. We don't just go around chastising people, but brothers can do that. So that night he had a dream, and in the dream, Lord Nityananda, in an intoxicated state of love for Krishna, came in his dream and appreciated very much how strong he was in his faith and conviction in Lord Nityananda. And pointed with his stick to Vrindavan and said, go at once to Vrindavan, take shelter there. If by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one can get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. That's how it happened with Krishna Das Kaviraj and many others. So he went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, one of the main personalities who he had the opportunity to associate with was Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Raghunath Das Goswami was primarily living in Puri with Lord Chaitanya under the care of Sarup Damodar. That's a long story. An extremely wealthy, one of the wealthiest families in all of India at the time, whatever, you know, Birla or Hinduja or this one or that one kind of, you know, super wealthy family. Majumdar was the family name. He was the only son, so he was due to inherit the wealth of his family. And he had zero, he had minus interest in all of that wealth. But he had great spiritual attraction. So, of course, for Lord Chaitanya. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he got the association of Lord Chaitanya, finally, after many unsuccessful attempts. Beautiful Leela. So he went to Puri. Immediately Lord Chaitanya accepted him and told him, take shelter of Sarup Damodar. He will train you. And so through the whole period of time that Raghunath Das was in Puri, he was under the care of Sarup Damodar. And Sarup Damodar was next to Ramananda Roy, those two, the most confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, which meant everything that was the internal mood of Lord Chaitanya, he understood it through Sarup Damodar. He witnessed the Leela and he understood the inner meaning by his association with Sarup Damodar. When Lord Chaitanya left, Raghunath Das, along with his Govardhan Shilda that we saw, and his Gunjamala, given to him by Lord Chaitanya, he decided to go to Vrindavan, take darshan of Rupa and Sanatan, take darshan of Govardhan Hill, and jump off of Govardhan Hill and kill himself, because what's the use of life without Lord Chaitanya? But he first wanted the shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, because he had associated with them when they came to Puri. So immediately, they could understand his mood, even without his saying what his intention was. And they immediately chastised him. Raghunath, you can't take your life. You're Vaishnav. You can't take that which is the property of Lord Chaitanya. He has service for you. You can't take the property of Lord Chaitanya away like that. And I'll tell you what your service is. You've been associating with Lord Chaitanya while we've been in separation under his order serving here in Vrindavan. You've been with him all this time. So you know all his pastimes and you know the inner meaning. So here's your service every day. For 3 to 4 hours, you speak Gaura Leela. Here's the tree. Sit under this tree every day, 3 to 4 hours, for the edification and the ecstasy of all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya that live here in Vrindavan. That's your service. Every day. So guess who was in the audience every day? Krishna Das Kaviraj. Soaking up the nectar. So from the mouth of Raghunath Das, he heard all of Lord Chaitanya's Leela in Puri. And from the diaries of Mukunda Datta, he had the Leela of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. And he's not only Kavi, he's Kaviraj. He was a vastly qualified person. So all the residents of Vrindavan said, Krishnadas, you should write this down. Because now you know it, but next generation, who knows who will know it like you know it. Write it down. One of the pujaris, particularly, he mentions, a perfectly pure, spotlessly pure Vaishnav, ordered him, do it, begin it immediately. So on the order of the Vaishnavas, and with the mercy of Madan Mohan, he pleaded for their mercy. He began writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada very mercifully translated his writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita and made commentary based upon the commentaries of Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others. So that now we know something much more about Lord Chaitanya's life. And amongst all the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his biography is the most outstanding. He took the humble position of saying, the Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's the Acharya, he's the Vyas of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, as Vyas was the compiler of Krishna's pastimes, because prior to his writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vrindavan Das had written Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, it was called Chaitanya Mangala, but later it was known as Chaitanya Bhagavat because of Bhagavatam, as the Bhagavatam is the pastimes of Krishna, became known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. Anyway, amazing Vaishnav, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and the Bhajan Kutir, where he did that writing, is at Radha Kund. He wrote many other books, especially Govinda Lilamrita. Govinda Lilamrita is such an elevated book. Just to give you a hint of an idea of how elevated Govinda Lilamrita is, Bhaktisiddhanta once asked his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if it was all right to print and publish Govinda Lilamrita. And the answer was, yes, you can print and publish one volume for yourself only. Because it's too elevated for others to understand. So don't print it and publish it for anyone other than yourself. Of course, not following Bhaktivinoda Thakur's advice, others have translated and printed Govinda Lilamrita. But I don't recommend that you read it anytime soon. Because it's very, 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 very elevated literature of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's deity, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, which he was worshipping while at Radha Kund, were brought to Radha Damodar temple for continuing the worship because of the quality of the worship that was going on at the time. Next on the altar is Radha Damodar. We described about Radha Damodar, Rupa Goswami giving them to Jiva Goswami for worship. That says something, that Jiva Goswami was such an stellar Vaishnav, so philosophically strong and powerful, yet his uncle, who was giving him shelter in Krishna consciousness, gave him deity to worship with his own hand. Not just he carved the deity with his own hand and showed him how to do the worship. So the position of deity worship side by side with hearing and chanting is very important when done properly in the right consciousness in the proper manner. Directly in front of Radha, by the side of Radha Damodar is Lalita. And she has a very special, she manages to find her way onto many altars here in Vrindavan. through Lalita we can access Radha, and through Radha we can access Krishna. Through the teachings of Rupa Goswami we can access it all. Next to Radha Damodar are Radha Madhava. Do you know who is Jayadev Goswami? Do you know the Nrisinga prayers? Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. You know that prayer, right? Do you know who wrote that prayer? Jayadev Goswami, right. So you do know Jayadev Goswami. He's the author of the Nrisinga prayers. He's the author of the Dasavatara Stotra. That's just one of the 10 songs glorifying each one of the 10 main Leela avatars. Varaha, Nrisinga, Buddha, Vamana, Parashuram, Matsya, Kurma, right? Jayadev Goswami wrote those songs. He lived a few hundred years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 250 years, something like that, 300 years. And a major part of his life, he was a grihastha, pure Vaishnava, and a major part of his life was in Puri. And there's many stories, which I'm not going to describe right now because of time, but the songs of Gita Govinda were so attractive, even to Lord Jagannath, that at the time of Jayadev Goswami, some ladies were trained in chanting or singing Gita Govinda. And Lord Jagannath, the little Leela, the pujari noticed that there was a rip in Jagannath's cloth. And they were very upset. Jagannath got a rip in his cloth. And then from time to time they would find scratches on his arms. So they were wondering, how did he get scratches on his arms and a rip in his cloth? So they found a piece of cloth on a bush near where these ladies were chanting Gita Govinda. They understood that Lord Jagannath was going at night to hear the Gita Govinda being sung by these ladies who were singing so beautifully. So they invited the ladies to come in the temple and sing Gita Govinda in the temple so Jagannath doesn't have to go and hear Gita Govinda somewhere else. And since that time, one of the traditions in the Jagannath temple is the singing of Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly hear Gita Govinda being recited by Srup Damodar and others. And he would relish the taste of these glorifications of Radha and Krishna pastimes. There's one particular Leela. Some of you have, I'm sure, heard this Leela before, but it's very nice in relation to Jayadev Goswami. At one time he was residing in a place in Navadvip. There's many things to say, but just I'll say this one thing. He was composing spontaneously, but not like, you know, a mundane poet thinks, oh, that would sound nice with that, I'll put that down, and, you know, on the mental plane. He was totally immersed on the transcendental plane. And that's the position from which he was writing. So in one place in Gita Govinda, he was describing Radha and Krishna, and Radha becoming angry with Krishna, and Krishna pleading with Radha to give up her anger, and she wouldn't give up her anger, So Krishna then placed his head at Radha's feet, begging her to give up her anger. And when he got to that passage, he couldn't write it. He was thinking within himself, this is wrong. He's the Supreme Personality Godhead. He's the Supreme Master. How he can put his head at the feet of anyone, even Radha? This doesn't feel right. So he stopped, put down his writing instrument, informed his wife, it's time for my midday bath. I'm going to the river to take my bath. I'll come back, and please have prasadam ready when I return. So he left to take his bath. And moments later, he came back. He sat down at his writing table, and he began writing and asked his wife, I'm ready for prasadam. So she was a little surprised at how quickly he came back, but she fed her husband. And he said, thank you very much, and he got up and left. But she was very confused. And then her husband came back from the river with, you know, wet hair and his cloth, and looked at his wife and said, okay, is prasadam ready? And she said, well, what do you mean, is prasadam ready? You came back and already ate prasadam. Said, well, do that again. What happened? Yes, you laughed, and shortly after you left, you came right down and you sat down at your table and you wrote and you sat and you asked for prasadam and I fed you. And there's nothing left. So he went to the table and looked and saw the writing instrument was in a different place, and the writing instrument had written the words. And whoever it was that came in his hand, same handwriting, completing the sentence that he couldn't complete, that placing his feet at the head of Srimati Radharani. So at once he could understand. Krishna came in such a form that even the wife of Jayadev couldn't understand who it was. In such likeness. And completed the sentence. Krishna wanted that sentence to be written. And then he took prasad. And then he left. So he said to his wife, you're the most fortunate person in the three worlds. You've seen Krishna directly. And Krishna has accepted your offerings of your meals. Jayadev Goswami had such an intimate... There's other stories. We can save those other stories for when we get to Jaipur and see the original Radha Madhava. So the Pratibhu Radha Madhava that are on the temple altar of Radha Damodar Temple, right next to Radha Damodar, as you're looking at the deity to the right, are the Pratibhu deities of Jayadev Goswami Radha Madhava. And finally, on the far right, are the deities of Bhugarbha Goswami. And he was a very spontaneous devotee also. The deities' names are Radha, Chalachikan. Radha, Chalachikan. I hope I'm saying this properly. Does anybody know the meaning? Do you know the meaning?
Chal means he's a cheater.
Huh?
Chal means he's a cheater.
Cheater.
Chal means cheater in Hindi.
Krishna's a cheater. Chala. So, he was on another platform of devotion than we know anything about. And he was an intimate associate of Lokanath Goswami, who came from Bengal to Vrindavan with Lokanath, and he remained in Vrindavan and was an intimate associate of the Goswamis. And his samadhi is there also. So his deities are on the altar, or Pratibhu deities of Bhugarbha Goswami. I'm not sure how to do this. It's now 5 o'clock. And what time does the sun go down? Huh? No. What time will it become dark? 6 o'clock. So, there's a couple of suggestions. Our vehicles are at the Radha Govinda temple, so we have to walk there because they can't drive into these little narrow streets. No way. So we go there, not they come here. So we, on our way there, we can stop at least one place, Sona Gauranga. I mentioned already, I'll describe now, Sona Gauranga is a deity that was worshipped by Jagannath Das Babaji. The deity of Sona Gauranga was worshipped at Suryakund. Suryakund? Suryakund in Vrindavan. But they're golden in color, and some dacoits thought maybe they're gold, so they tried to steal them, because he's off in the, you know, wilderness out there in Vrindavan. They tried to steal them, but they didn't get away. Something, they were harmed somehow in their attempt to escape. But Jagannath Das Babaji understood that it's not safe to keep deities that look golden out here in Suryakund. So he arranged for them to come into Vrindavan for being worshipped. And they're being worshipped since that time here in Vrindavan. So very beautiful deities, golden in color, Sona Gauranga. And also very close by is Radha Gopinath Temple. I think we can have very short katha about Radha Gopinath Temple, because we're going to Radha Gopinath, the original Radha Gopinath in Jaipur, and we can have some more katha there.